you're exhausted and you believe the lie that you can just keep going, you're headed for a crash.
You're listening to the 95 Podcast from the team at 95 Network, where we host conversations specifically to support leaders in small and mid-sized churches. Well, welcome back to the 95 Podcast. My name's Austin Savage. I'm here with Dale Sellers, and we are your hosts. And guys, it's just us today. It's been a long time, Dale, since it's just been the two of us.
I cannot remember the last time that we did a podcast with just us. It might have been to announce your new company.
I think it was.
I think that was it.
We also, at the beginning of this year, did one to like kick off the year that was okay. Just the two of us.
Yeah.
Just I can't remember either. Just the two of us. Yeah.
That's what's in the back of my mind.
Well, now that we're distracted, let's just have a little, you know, karaoke session, and that's what this podcast is going to be, you know?
Yeah. So,
but really, we've tried to do episodes like this every once in a while just to be an opportunity to just kind of share what you and I are thinking and even give updates on the ministry or, you know, just share something that's been in our heart. And I feel like it's kind of been a little bit overdue for us to do another one of these. So it's kind of refreshing. It's kind of fun. It's like the good old days, you know?
Well, for me, it feels like, I mean, we're recording this in June and it feels like it's December as far as the amount of of work I've been doing. it's so much behind the scenes stuff, but just so much content and things I've been creating. And so, you know, it feels like a long year and it's only June.
I know, it does. Well, and that's actually what we wanted to talk about today. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot that's been on our heart. But Dale, before we do that, before we get into the meat of this episode, what's particularly been on your heart, a little thing that's coming up for you that's exciting. It's actually a first for you. Mm-hmm. First time ever that something is happening in your life that we get to talk about. I wanted to do a little, I guess we could call it a game here on the show to kick things off.
I know everyone's surprised by this.
I know. I used to, what did we used to call it? Austin's social media game. We dropped that one at like episode 15 or something. And here we are at like 86 or something. But one of the things, you know, we've done events all over the country.
Yes.
And we would usually do those together, you know, back before COVID happened and all of that stuff. And one of the things that I've always just loved about even seeing you speak and just something I've respected and appreciated about you is your ability to kind of like take a question or a thought or an idea and just like make a sermon about it, like in the moment almost, and to just kind of let the Lord speak through you as it happens. And so today I was like, let's do that here on the show. Let's just see what happens. And I have 5 words that I've written down, and I'm just going to walk down the list and just have you share a little something that is on your heart or your mind or that the Lord kind of speaks through you when that word comes up.
All right.
Sound good?
I'm ready, man.
All right. This first one is pressure. What comes to mind when I say the word pressure?
The majority of the pastors in America and around the world, they're dealing with pressure today they've never dealt with in their lives. We continue to try to help churches and help pastors. It's an amazing thing to me to understand what they're going through right now. A lot of the small church pastors have just been beat up by their churches.
Yeah.
And then I also remember, it makes me think about when I used to pastor, the times I would lay on the floor in my office and cry because I didn't have a friend. How was that for you?
That's good.
I could go a long ways on that.
We could. We could do a whole podcast
stuff to talk
on
about.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good. Next one is success.
Having those closest to me that know me the best, love me the most, and that's, I steal that from John Maxwell. He used to say that years ago. But success in ministry, success in life, is still being connected to my wife. You know, we just are going to celebrate in August, which is 2 months from now, our 39th wedding anniversary.
That's so cool.
The love that I have for my children, my 3 daughters, my 2 son-in-laws, my almost 4-year-old granddaughter, and then my brand new grandson. That's success. You know, just having them love me and believe in me.
How do we mix that up, or how do you see people mix that up usually?
They don't prioritize their family. They don't prioritize their marriage. If you're in ministry, you spend so much time saving somebody else's family, you lose your own. I decided a long time ago I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah, that's good. All right, next one is disappointment.
That always comes back to myself. You know, if something happens negatively, if there's a negative thing that happens in a relationship, somehow I feel like maybe the pandemic's my fault. I mean, it's just everything that I filter through life, I go, gosh, man, if I could have done something differently, I could have changed it. Yeah. And I've always had counsel to help me with this, but it's just built in me. Mm-hmm. And so the last thing I ever want to do is disappoint anybody. And if you've read my book, you recognize that my biggest pressure in life was I felt like I disappointed or was a disappointment to Jesus. And so I still work through that.
Mm-hmm. How common do you think that is?
I think it's very common for those in ministry. I think it's very common in life. I think there's never been a season where more people are disillusioned and more people are stalled than right now. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, I think social media has destroyed us in some ways. There's a lot of good things about social media, but I think it's because now you have people screaming at each other that don't know each other. And I've said for years, you know, every now and then I used to listen. I don't even listen to it much now. I will during football season, but we have a really big sports talk station here.
Yeah.
And I hear people get on sports talk and say the things they would tell LeBron James if they were looking him in the face. And I'm going, no, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say that to him. You wouldn't tell Charles Barkley what you think. He'd sit on you, you know? Yeah. And so I get people are hiding, you know, hiding behind a mask. Hey, if you want to go deep here. So there's a verse where Jesus is talking, telling a parable. And he says this, or he tells the story about how this person had this unclean spirit that was taken out of them and it left them and it went out and it went to arid places, the Bible says. And then it came to itself and said, you know what? I'm gonna go back to where I was. And it says it came back and it brought seven other spirits with him. And the latter end of that person was worse than the beginning because it says when that spirit returned, it found the person or the house is the way it referred to it, the person. It found them swept clean and put in order. And I always thought, that seems good if they were swept clean and put in order. But that phrase put in order in the Greek is the word cosmio. So we get the word cosmetic from. And the reason that spirit could come back and take other spirits with it is because the person had the appearance, they had their act together, but there was nothing on the inside. I think that describes the majority of us today.
Do you think that what you kind of described with the disappointment kind of ties to pressure, like we talked about earlier? Do you think that is unique to leaders in general or specific to ministry leaders?
It's all leaders. It's all of us, you know. And see, for me, you got to understand. Mine goes back to my relationship with my dad.
Right.
You know,
right.
My dad. You know, he was. We worked together. We were phenomenal working together. But my dad never communicated with me on any kind of personal level. And so, you know, it really messed me up. And you know, I recognize it more now.
Yeah. So. I think that was episode 42 of our podcast. I think is where you share your full story there.
Yeah.
That led to Stalt. All right, number four, hope.
The church is in such bad shape today that the only thing that's going to save us is Jesus.
Come on now.
we are so broken right now. The world is so broken right now that I really believe we're going to see the greatest move of God we've ever seen. We are in a place to where, you know, Kerry Newhoff and John Maxwell and all the other wonderful people, as much great stuff as they've given us, is not going to solve our problems. 95 Network's not going to solve your problems. We want to help, but we are at a place now that my hope is that Jesus is going to move in a way we've never seen because we need him to.
Is there a risk that we miss it? That we miss that?
I think that's what we see at 95 Network. I use this number and it's not scientific, but it's just a hunch. About 50% of the churches that we engage just don't want to die.
Yeah.
If we meet a church that doesn't want to die, we can help it. The other half are going to keep doing what they've always been doing. One of my big problems with most of the denominational leaders in America is all that they just keep repackaging the same old stuff and giving it to their churches. It's not working. And because, you know, to change our seminaries and to change our denominations and to change our local churches requires change.
Mm-hmm. I feel that though. I mean, I think there's a lot of, this is hinting at the next word, but a lot of transition happening in the church in general right now and in, you know, leadership. And, you know, it's really, the hope is that Jesus is doing something, and it's the...
He is.
He is, like, absolutely, and the church is going to come out stronger, but it's going to be those people who listen to his direction and, you know, navigate this transition with intention.
I prayed this yesterday. John 15, I believe, is the vine and the branches, and Jesus makes a statement. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing.
Yeah.
And I used to think about that. I never verbalized this. Again, I always say his name, but John Maxwell verbalized this one time. He said he used to hear that verse and go, well, I can do a lot of things without you, Jesus. And I thought, I felt that way myself, but you're not supposed to say stuff like that.
Right.
And so John said, yeah, but you can't do anything with internal value apart from him. Mm-hmm. And I think, and boy, again, we all five of these questions,
I know,
are in words. We could continue to do ministry the way we've always been doing it. And I believe that in a lot of cases, if Jesus showed up at our church, we'd run him out. Yeah. Because he would disrupt what we're doing, because what we're doing is so far away from what he's called us to do and asked us to do and led us to do, because we do it apart from him. Remember, we don't do ministry for him. Yeah. We do it from him.
Yeah. Whew. All right. Last one is the word transition. What does that bring to mind for you?
We are there as a nation, as in the church world, but it's a word that's always going to be part of our lives, and the church people hate it, and really everybody hates it. I always think about when Peter, James, and John went up on the mountaintop with Jesus, and Jesus turns inside out, and God speaks, and there's Moses and Elijah, and it's just like Peter, and it basically said he's talking out of his head because he's like freaked out. Right. But he says, you know, it's great to be here. We need to set up three tabernacles, one for you, Moses, and Elijah, and God just speaks and says, hey, that's my son, listen to him. And I'm like, what's that all about? Well, Peter did what we all want to do. We all want to camp around what God did instead of embrace what God's doing. And the majority of the churches we work with, they spend more time talking about what happened in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, when God was moving in their churches. And the reality is God is moving today as much as he ever has moved, but we have to transition the way we approach things. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, we still got churches that don't want to embrace the internet. They want to embrace online. They want to embrace having a good website. And I'm like, you're going to get left behind. Mm-hmm. It's just a fact that's the nature of the church. We've always gone kicking and screaming into blessing.
Mm-hmm. Whew. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that little riffing game.
Vignettes with Dale.
Yeah, there you go. We'll do it whenever we feel like it.
I do have a few things to share every now and then.
I did
a podcast yesterday with the pastor in Iowa. And I mean, this dude was, I mean, he almost,
he was he bringing was getting, it out of you?
Oh, he was like, dog, this is, he's writing down notes because he's also a pastor. And yeah. I'm like, I think I could take an offering right now and he'd send me something.
Yeah. That's so funny. I just can remember so many times that we would be at events and it would be either from a question or just something where you'd be like, okay, guys, I'm sorry, but I gotta,
you hit a nerve.
Yeah.
Man.
I gotta say something here. Or like, I can just feel like this is a topic I need to address. And it always was like, I mean, it was just so powerful. So,
well, that's where that's the transition I'm going through. I recognized before even I started working with 95 Network that I was becoming more of a father figure to a lot of guys in ministry versus just being their friend.
Yeah.
And now the most valuable thing that I can bring to the table is the experience that I have, and the fact that I've been doing this for 40 years and didn't quit. Mm-hmm. And I have worked for some, let me see, I better say this differently. I've been in some situations where the people that I have worked for have not been easy to work for. We'll leave it like that. And in fact, I've had a lot of opportunities to give up and I can't.
Yeah.
And so, which I think that's going to lead into where we're going now.
I was
going to
say, that's a perfect lead in. So I guess the impetus for this podcast, big
Ooh,
word there.
I like that word. Yeah, I know.
For this podcast in general, really is because starting at the end of this month, at the end of June, you are taking a 40-day sabbatical for the first time ever. You've taken, you know, vacations every year. You've always talked about how in leadership that has been a priority for you and that's been something you've done, but you've never had the opportunity to take like a long sabbatical and just rest for like a lengthy period of time. So let's start there and just kind of walk us through what is like going on, what led to that, and anything that you kind of have on your heart, and then we'll just kind of talk from there.
I wasn't sure. I knew we were going to record this podcast, and I wasn't sure what the purpose of it was, other than announcing I'm going on a sabbatical. But there's a couple of things that have happened. One of them today that I think sets this up really well to help me understand it. One of the things that's happened in my life, I did it when I wrote Stalled, and it's happening right now, even as I record this, is God sometimes pours into me or gives me an awareness, I'm not quite sure how you word this, the pain of a lot of other people. And I'm experiencing that right now as I talk about doing the sabbatical, because I'm writing an article right now about the sabbatical, and today it pulled up some stuff that it didn't go that way. It didn't go fiery. It pulled up some junk that I haven't thought about in a long time.
Really?
So I want to kind of set that up by telling you a story. When our church, we went through the church split, you know, I was there for 8 years, went through the church split, hung on for 4 more years. After hanging on for the 4 more years, and you don't know any of this. So after hanging on for the 4 more years, we closed the church. Right. It was not healthy enough to hand off to somebody. And there's nothing more detrimental to your emotions and your self-worth as a pastor than when you do something for 12 years and you close it.
Yeah.
But I had enough wisdom to close it because it wasn't healthy. On the backside of that, I had a ministry reach out to me that told me, dude, we want you to come work with us.
Yeah.
And I was surprised by that because preceding our church's split, our church, I don't know if we've shared this on the podcast either. In the year 2000, John Maxwell tried to hire me. Mm-hmm. I actually was on a private plane with Gina, my wife, John, and the pilot. And we talked through about me going to work for them. And it was not the right season in my life. And it wasn't right for my kids. And it wasn't right for me personally. And so I didn't take that job. And a month later, our church split. Hmm. And it was like I went from the highest highs to the lowest lows. And if you read Stalled, you know that the loneliness and the thing I don't like about being exposed. So when we closed the church, I mean, I'm at the lowest emotional point of my life. And then all of a sudden, this church reaches out and says, hey, we want you to come on staff. And I don't want to say enough about that church to even begin to indicate who it was. But I went from, again, the lowest despairs to the highest highs through a series of things I did not understand at that time. Still don't completely understand them. 3 months later, they didn't hire me. And so I'm like, whoa. This was in the book, but I pulled it out. I didn't put it in the book because I didn't go into this chapter. But I felt like Jesus was saying, I'm really going to show you now.
Yeah.
I felt like Jesus was saying to me, okay, look, you know, you blew it. Your church didn't make it. You failed. And so I wanted just to pull the rug out from you one other time. Now, again, I know when I say that, everybody's cringing, going, Dale, you're an idiot. Jesus doesn't act that way. I'm just telling you how I felt.
Yeah, like this but is what you deserve kind of thing.
Yes, because I had, you know, hadn't led well or whatever. But see, what preceded all that, and I think this is what came, one of the things that came up the other day that I wanted to share on this podcast. I had an opportunity. Our friend Stephanie was turning 40, and they had moved away. She used to work at our church, and they moved away. And so Gina and I went up to their church in Louisville, or in the Louisville area, and we surprised her for her 40th birthday. And she didn't know we were coming. It was glorious. It was great. Had a great time. But her pastor asked me if I'd stay over and preach the next day. Hmm. Sure. And actually, to be fair, the Lord had already begun to deal with me and give me a message because I felt like he was going to do that. Because, I mean, he was Pastor Darrell, a great guy. So I preached the message. It was great. It was awesome. And at the end of the message, Pastor Darrell comes up to the front to close the service out. And he looks at me and he says, Dale, I need to share something with you. The Lord just put on my heart. And he starts to bawl. Wow. Well, you're like, oh God, you know, is he going to get up and tell everybody that I'm, you know, got some kind of secret sin I don't know about? Right. We're just going, you know? Oh,
yeah. Lord. Your brain's like going all over the place. Oh, yeah.
I tell you, Pastor Dale, it's not true. Whatever you're going to say, I didn't do it, you know? And so that's kind of what I'm feeling. And he looks at me and he says, the Lord, and I don't know if any of y'all, you know, listening have experienced anything like this, but sometimes God will give somebody just a word to share it with you.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he said, Dale, he said, I'm weeping for you because the Lord just gave me a mental picture of what's about to happen in your life. He said, you're about to go through a cloud. Hmm. He said, and that cloud is so thick, you can't even see your hand. And he said, Dale, you can't go around it. You can't go over it, and you can't go under it. You're going to have to go through it. And Jesus is going to hold your hand, and you're going to come out on the other side, and you're going to be better than you've ever been. But you are going through a season where all you can do is just hold on to Jesus and trust him.
Wow.
And then a few months later, the situation I told you about just happened.
Wow.
And the Lord brought that back up in my spirit this week because I knew I was going to be talking about this podcast and about going on a sabbatical. And it's not for me per se. Honestly, I'm doing great. I'm not even really that tired. I've created a lot of content. We rebuilt our website. I did a lot of work with that. I've created a series of coaching videos for guys who are learning how to do the Vision Day process. I created 14 new small church strategy videos. I taught myself how to do iMovie. To learn how to mix all that stuff. We didn't go record these videos anywhere. We literally bought a camera, and my bonus room is a video studio now.
Yep.
So I've done all that stuff. I've learned a lot about how to work the inside the website and all that kind of stuff. So I'm good.
Yeah.
And so there's no moral failure. There's no crash and burn. There's no exhaustion. The Lord just spoke to me about a month ago and said, you need to go on sabbatical now. It's time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'll think about it. Well, then I told you, I think you were on the prayer call. I told our team on our prayer call that Monday that the Lord told me that. And so as soon as I said it out loud, I knew, okay, now I got to do this. So
it was actually funny, just to like jump in there. Yeah, it was funny because you're like, guys, this is something that I'm thinking about doing. All of us were like, yeah, Dale, that means that you need to do it. And then we just went around, and within 5 minutes, you're like, okay, so this is something that I'm doing.
Yeah. So I finished up our prayer call and immediately sent an email out to our board and just said, hey, guys, I believe the Lord's told me to take a sabbatical, which all of them were like, yay, go do it, you know?
Which is incredible.
I saw one of our board members this past Sunday, and he was like, have you gone on your sabbatical yet? He said, God's going to show you so much stuff. And I said, no, it's coming up. And so all that, up until today, I've been so excited about it, and I'm still excited about it, but there's a heaviness that has come to me that I want to relate to our listeners. Yeah. Because I haven't planned for it, I don't have like money put back so we can go on a trip somewhere and that kind of thing. So most of it will be just spent here at the home. But I am literally, the day that the sabbatical starts, I'm going to take my laptop, cut it off, and put it in my backpack and not pull it out for 40 days. Turn off the notifications on my phone, take my apps for my Gmail and that kind of stuff like that and hide it. Because people are like, oh, if you don't make all these plans, you'll cheat. I'm going, you don't know me very well. If you think I'll cheat when
you
God told me
something,
to,
you do that.
I'm not going to cheat. But so I'm excited about it. I know the Lord's refreshing me. And honestly, I think the reason that I'm going on the sabbatical is for one of the things he's already begun to speak to me, because what's coming for us in the next months ahead is, I mean, Austin, right now, I think I have two openings that I could possibly squeeze something into the fall. Yeah. We are so booked up with in-person events. And we knew that was going to happen once the pandemic left us. And so I'm preparing for that. I've got some exciting things happening that we're doing with Purpose Driven that'll be coming out in a few months. And so there's a lot of cool things. Me and Carl Vaders are doing some things together, which is just such a blessing. Speaking at the National Rural Matters National Institute in Oklahoma in October. And just a lot of cool things are happening. But today, as I was writing my article to tell people about the sabbatical, I started remembering what it was like when I was pastoring the small church. And I was reminded that I could never do this back then.
Yeah.
I couldn't take 40 days off. I did have the discipline of taking a yearly one-week vacation.
Right.
And I've talked about that a lot in the past. But it hit me today that the reason we're doing this podcast is I want to communicate to our listeners, especially if you're in that setting where you can't take a sabbatical. You know, you can't do that. You know, and there's lots of reasons. And one is, you know, you don't have people in place to keep your church going.
Right.
If I had taken a 40-day sabbatical when I was pastoring, when I came back, I wouldn't be a church.
Yeah.
And I was reminded today how I tried so hard to implement all the things that Maxwell and Andy Stanley and Hybels at the time and all these different people were telling. I did everything they told us to do. And I'd have leaders I'd raise up and then they would drop the ball. And see, the thing you do as a pastor is once you hand something off to somebody and then you have to pick it back up again, there's two things that take place. One, you don't tend to give it back. But the reason you don't tend to give it back is because you get burned. Mm-hmm. Pastors get a bad rap for doing everything themselves, but it's because so often they give stuff off to people and people let them down.
Yeah.
And it's very hard. I guarantee everyone listening that's over 50 fights cynicism if you haven't just already gone down that road. And so as I begin to think about that, and then I thought about this. I thought, you know, well, I can't afford to go on a sabbatical pastoring back then. I didn't have any money to do anything like that. And then this one came up today. This one was like, wow, this came out of nowhere. I was in a board meeting where we'd brought on a new board member, and he worked for a huge company. And when he got on our board, in our very first board meeting, I don't know if I've ever, and you know this story, but I don't think I've ever said it on the podcast. He was in our first board meeting, and he was looking over our finances, and he looked at our finances, and I mean, I had great respect for this guy, still do today. And he looked at me and he said, I need to ask a question. I said, sure. You know, because the first thing we did was go over the budget. Mm-hmm. He goes, is this what we're paying you? And I'm like, oh man, he's upset. I'm making too much money.
Yeah.
I go, well, yeah. I said, I mean, I probably could cut back somewhere. He's like, are you kidding me? He said, I'm ashamed and embarrassed today to be a member of this church. I had no idea we were paying you what we're paying you. He said, if you were doing the same thing in the secular arena, you could be making double what you're making here.
Yeah.
And I propose at this very moment, we give you a $10,000 raise.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh Lord, now everybody's looking at me.
Yeah, and you're,
I mean, they're supposed, because it looks like I brought this guy on to do this,
right?
And I promise you, we'd never had that conversation, and he didn't even know where the finances were. But I'll never forget. Another one of the board members looked at me and said, well, if we do that, you'll be making more money than I do. And another guy looked at me and said, and what in the world's that got to do with anything?
Yeah.
I'll never forget.
Talk about leadership, man. That's, I mean, incredible.
Well, I'll never forget how that board member was communicated to me. You're not worth what I'm worth.
Yeah.
And so there are just thousands of pastors. Hopefully, maybe they'll get to hear this one day, who you have people around you who don't think you're worth making enough money to survive on. So you can't take a sabbatical because you have people around you like that whose opinion is that, you know, we hired you. You work for us. And then there's one other thing about a sabbatical that I this one came back up again today too. And I hear this still today. People who aren't in ministry, I mean, I know some guys who get very, very angry very quickly when you start talking about a pastor taking a sabbatical, because they just say, I think that's the most lame thing I've ever heard in my life. Why in the world do people in ministry get sabbaticals? We don't get to do that in the real world.
Yeah.
And I've had people just jump down my throat about talking about someone else being on sabbatical. Mm-hmm. And their opinion is, well, if you're in ministry, you just need to buck up.
Yeah.
You know, you just need to, you need to suck it up, man, and get over yourself. And all that says is that the majority of the people out there have no concept of what it's like to pastor a church, whether it's a small church, a mid-sized church, a large church. One of the hardest jobs, if not the hardest job on the earth, is leading volunteers.
Yeah.
Because you can tell them, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is where we're going to go. And they can say, no, we're not. And they don't go there. And so it requires so much leadership. And then you add to that the fact that most of our pastors have not been trained on how to lead. Mm-hmm. And that's why, to answer one of your earlier words you threw at me, I have hope that Jesus is going to come in and save this, because it's broken. It's beyond repair. It's kind of like the American political system.
Yeah.
The people making the decisions have their hands in the pot so deep that they can't bring about a lasting change to get us all to work together. Mm-hmm. They run campaigns about us all working together, but none of them are willing to go there because someone would have to give up something.
Right.
And our political system is broken. The way we've been doing church in America is broken too. And so while I'm excited that I have the opportunity to do this, I think about the thousands of pastors today who can't. Mm-hmm. And that makes me sad.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of working through that today. And I do have some things I want to offer them that, you know, if we get toward the end, to give them some hope of some things they can do. I love the church, man. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the chief shepherd, but I love his shepherds. Mm-hmm. And they're a messed up bunch, man. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a pastor, you know, we're a crazy lot of people. We're so messed up. I see so many pastors that are struggling right now, and their churches aren't growing, and their ideas, well, I need to go back to school and get more education. And I'm like, why would you say that?
Yeah.
You know, if you don't learn anything else new the rest of your life, and I'm not anti-education, but I'm just like, we're not even implementing what we already know. Mm-hmm. You know, and so the answer isn't for you to get your master's or get your doctorate. The answer is for you to let Jesus rekindle that fire. So anyway, that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, let's dig a little bit deeper in that. So like we kind of ended that with, okay, there's a heaviness, which there is. And, you know, mm-hmm. both of us are just sitting here tearing up about fighting it.
I mean, I was, you know, I get that thing in my throat, you know, while I'm writing my article going, wow.
Right. I mean, it's heartbreaking because you and I both know, Dale, that there are some incredible pastors that we support here at 95 Network. There are people who are just doing incredible things in their community. Some people have been at the same church for 40 years and are still at
it. Blows my mind.
Some people, you know, have been doing interim pastoral work for 40 years and have just been hopping around, being put into like the craziest situations, and mm-hmm. that's the calling that they have, and they've stuck with it. And it's been incredible to see those people do that work, but you're absolutely right that there are so many who are tired or who are just like, they've earned it. I mean, honestly, like people who have been in it for as long as you have, or even, you know, less years than that, like they've earned it.
Yep.
But they still don't feel like they can do it, like they can make it happen.
Well, it's not a matter of feeling. They can't.
Right. I mean, obviously, that's not the way that it should be. So like, no. you know, it shouldn't be that way. One, we, you know, pastors should be making enough money that they can afford to do stuff like that. Pastors should be given the freedom to take, you know, extended time off with their family and even just to refresh themselves spiritually. Pastors mm-hmm. should, you know, have the leaders and the surrounding systems in place to be able to leave for even 2 to 3 weeks and come back and for things to still be okay, for it not to be burning down. But it's not that way. And so I guess the question is, like, we know that there's hope. We know that it'll be okay in quotation marks, but like, what is the hope or the advice or the direction for the pastor who is feeling that today and even feeling the heaviness in their own life that they don't have the freedom to take that?
The first thing I want to say to before I answer that is that every major mistake I've ever made in my life, I was exhausted.
Exactly.
Every and for almost 40 years of marriage, 39 coming up in August, every major mistake that Dale has ever made was because I was exhausted. And I used to tell you when we were on the road, mm-hmm. we cannot go out with people after I do the one-day conference because I'm just going to say whatever. And we have stories that we're not going to share of times that where I can't think straight.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired and I feel like, oh, yeah, but they need me. Well, you know what? No, they don't need you that bad if you're going to go and screw things up. Mm-hmm. And so I want to say that you know, if you're exhausted and you believe the lie that you can just keep going, you're headed for a crash. Exactly. And I mean, I've been there. I had the crash. I know what it's like to flame out. I know what it's like to go, okay, I can't do this anymore. And then on top of all that, when I finally get healthy, I have quadruple bypass surgery because exactly. I've done so much damage to my body that I didn't even know about. And you know, I was days away from dying and didn't know it because I had a widowmaker.
Yeah. From stress.
And so from the stress of ministry and not just the stress of ministry. I don't want to blame everything that I went through on people. Most of it was me.
Right.
Most of it was a misunderstanding of a relationship with God because I didn't get that communicative side of the relationship with Father God through my dad. I mean, I'm not blaming dad. He did the best he could with what he had. That's the era he grew up in. But when I'd see people talk about, you know, crawling up in daddy's lap or all the, you know, and I'm like, I don't even know what y'all are talking about. You know, right. I used to, and I still do. I love it when I see a man look at his son and say, I love you.
Yeah.
Or I've got a friend I hang out with named Nick, and Nick and his dad's name's Rick. And I just love their relationship. They talk every day. They talk so open and honest and personable. And I've always and typically Nick will put his dad on speakerphone. and his dad always, you know, ends the call with, I love you, son.
Yeah.
I didn't have that. Mm-hmm. You know, and so when you get exhausted, you start doing things yourself.
Yeah.
When you get exhausted, you start, if I can just do a little bit more, if I can push into it a little deeper. And there are times, there are what I call grunt times in ministry when you do have to give a little bit of extra and stuff. Right. But if you keep going down that road, you will crash and burn. It's just going to happen. I mean, I read a very long article today. Someone just wrote a long article about Tiger Woods and his upbringing and all that kind of stuff. And Tiger got everything he did from his dad. And when his dad died, he went nuts. You know, and it was just like the impact of that guidance. And so you've got to get somebody in your life you can talk to.
Yeah.
You've got to get somebody in your life that can pour into you. You've got to get someone in your life that you can be transparent with. I know I've talked about this to you before, but you know, I remember when the Promise Keepers thing was happening, and I think they're firing it back up again. That's great. They would tell everybody, you got to get in these accountability groups, and you got to sit down with these guys on Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. and share your junk. And I'm going, I ain't doing that.
Right.
I'm not telling you my stuff if I don't know you love me. Mm-hmm. And I'm certainly not going to do it in a group setting. And you say, well, Dale, you're not healthy. Well, I think I am. I've been around all the cycles for a while now. Everything mm-hmm. cycles in and cycles out. And at the end of the day, the one thing that does not cycle in and cycle out, and that's Jesus.
Yeah.
And my love for Jesus is the same today as a 59-year-old man as it was when I was a 7-year-old and he came into my life. And my awareness of the Holy Spirit talking in me right now to me and through me is just as aware as it was when I asked him into my life when I was a 7-year-old kid. And so I think one of the things our pastors have got to do, you've got to get a vibrant, daily, intuitive relationship with the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. You can't, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We've already talked about that. And you can't do what God's called you to do on your own. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to, if there's a couple things I'd do to answer your question, one, you got to get somebody you can be honest with, and you got to develop just a fascinating, real relationship with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. If you don't do that, then you're just going to keep thinking you're on your own. And you can miss what God's doing. You can be so busy doing ministry that you forget your ministry.
Yeah.
And then the third thing to that question I would say to wrap that up is you got to press into your family. Mm-hmm. Man, you know, if your marriage is in bad shape, get it fixed.
Yeah.
You do counseling, go get counseling. Right. If you're in a bad relationship with your kids and you can still connect with them, do what you got to do. I did. Mm-hmm. I did not sacrifice my kids on the altar of ministry. Wouldn't do it then, won't do it now.
Boom. Yeah. Boom.
Hey guys, this episode's not over yet, but I want to let you know about something that's coming up here in Greenville, South Carolina on November 4th. We're going to host the first ever From Stall to Freedom National Conference, and you're invited. This is going to be a perfect opportunity for you to get away. I want you to bring your spouse if you can and just experience a day of encouragement. And then I want you guys to block off the rest of the weekend, get somebody to cover for you that Sunday so you can just rest and refresh. You know, you can't effectively lead if you're exhausted. And so I really want to encourage you to come and be with us. My friend Bob Hamp and I will be leading the conference that day, and it's just going to be an encouraging time. Just head over to 95network.org/national conference, or you can find the link here in the show notes. Man, I hope to see you there.
So here's the, I think, question that I really, really want to, I guess, focus on here for the rest of our time. Well, I've shared on the podcast before that I think it was at the end of last year, I talked to a pastor who was just done. He was at the end of himself, mm-hmm. exhausted, and the answer to all of his frustrations, his struggles, his disappointments, all of that stuff was that he needed to take a break. He needed time off. He needed to stop, you know, being on the line every single week for everything. And he needed to just reconnect with Jesus, with himself, with his family.
I need to make sure people understand when you said on the line, you didn't mean online.
No, I so mean, you, like, yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. I know you would not want anybody to think you said on the line, referring to being online. So I want to make sure we drop that in there. Okay, so keep going.
Yes, I wasn't even thinking about that. But anyways, you know, and we had this conversation, and he's like, that's exactly what I need. I need time off. And then he didn't do it. Like, he just took that, and he said, okay, thank you. I gave mm-hmm. him next steps. I was like, here's how you do it. And then he didn't follow through on it. And so the question I have is, there are people listening today who feel the Spirit of God telling them, you need a break. You need to take time off. You need to invest in yourself, in your family, in our relationship, and just rest. Rest in me. Rest in you know, the work that you've done. But practically, they're in that place where, like we talked about, they can't. Like, practically, they can't. You know, there's fear that their church is going to fall apart. There's fear that, you know, the church won't continue to pay them, or, you know, whatever those fears are for them. And so to that person who's listening today, who knows spiritually that they need to take a break, but knows practically that they can't, what's the solution?
Who's your source? At the end of the day, who's your source? If you're in a ministry situation, and Jesus is telling you to take a break.
Yeah.
Jesus, who modeled for you taking breaks. Exactly. Jesus, who, after he was baptized, came up out of the water, the Spirit came to rest on him, and immediately the Bible says for 40 days he went out in the desert and was tempted. Jesus, who modeled for you to go up to the mountainside and pray. Yeah. Jesus, who called you into ministry, to do ministry. So you're not looking at me or Austin or your church and saying, I can't take a break. You're looking at him and saying, I can't do it. And so that tells me that and I don't know any other way to say this, you think too highly of yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're at a place in your life where Jesus is calling you to do something and you can't do it because of your ministry, you're in bad shape. I had a Wednesday night church service many, many, many years ago when I was pastoring. And this would happen from time to time where... and any pastor preaching understands what I'm about to say, where the Holy Spirit just kind of comes on you and gives you this revelation of something. And I'm preaching about, I don't know what I was preaching about, but our church was located right on the interstate. And I was talking about not obeying what the Lord's telling you to do. And I started talking about how it's like you're going down the interstate at 80 miles an hour, and there's signs everywhere saying, you got a detour coming up, the bridge is out, and you just keep speeding and blowing right through all the barriers, blowing through all the signs, running through the barricades, and then you're freaked out, like, what happened when you go off the bridge that was out?
Right.
Well, you're being warned, Pastor. Mm-hmm. You're being warned. The bridge is out. You can't keep doing it the way you've been doing it. Yeah. You're exhausted. You're tired. And listen, if you can't take a break, and again, I want to clarify this. Some of us can only take a week vacation. Or maybe maybe for you, what you've got to do based on this podcast is you just got to start doing Sabbath once a week. Mm-hmm. Which means you literally take a day off away from ministry. I'm not saying everybody has to take 40 days, because most of you can't. Again, it's the first time I've ever done it.
Right.
But if you keep going down the road and ignoring the signs and running through the barriers, don't be shocked when you crash. Mm-hmm. Don't be shocked when you run off the bridge into the lake and it's catastrophic for you. There's two things God's given us. I always talk about this. There's two things I believe the Lord gave us just in a physical sense to remind us of our need for Him and of our reliance upon Him. And those two things are tithing and Sabbath. It makes no sense whatsoever to give away 10% of your money. That don't make any sense at all. Yeah. Why in the world would you do that? Well, you do it because you believe God's your source. And that 10% you give away, you don't miss it because you're just acknowledging the source, and actually you do a whole lot better in the long run. And the other one's Sabbath. Well, pastors can preach about tithing. Most of them won't, but most of them do tithe, but they won't Sabbath.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of scriptures in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that talk about the fact that as shepherds, we got to set the example. Maybe if you'll take a sabbatical, maybe if you'll go on vacation, maybe if you'll take a break, maybe if you'll honor taking a day a week, maybe your people will start doing it. You know, if your people won't let you do that, it's because they're so key. They're just as keyed up as you are. You know, we always say this, you know, if you're not healthy, your church is not going to be healthy. You don't sick your way into health. you don't go, you know, it's like if you got the flu, you know, you don't run out in the rain naked, you know, you get more flu. Don't make sense. You pull back, you take medicine, you rest, you replenish. And moving into the season that we're going into, as I mentioned at the beginning, I believe we're going to see that one of the greatest moves of God we've ever seen. But it's going to come out of shepherds who just simply say, "Here am I, use me." Mm-hmm. And it's not going to come from our ideas, you know, the 44 steps to growth and all the news, all that junk. It's not coming from that. It's coming. We're doing ministry from Him and not for Him.
Yeah. I was just talking to a leader of a pretty large organization the other day, and really their organization just looked very, very different than it did when she launched it a decade ago. And we were talking about insecurity and how she really just felt like she didn't know what to do. Like, it was just a total different level of leadership than had ever been required of her, you know, before she was at that point. And we were kind of talking about my new business and how, like, even in some of the new stuff, like, it's just required a level of leadership from me that I've never experienced before. And Dale, you've drilled in my head the analogy of touching the glory. And you would always say, you know, there we hit these points in leadership where we feel the pressure, right? We feel the pressure that we have to, like, just push it forward. Like you're saying,
we just
go through the barriers. We got to make it happen. We just got to push ourselves. And, you know, if nobody else is going to come through, we're going to do what they should have done. And, like, it's all on our shoulders. And what we forget is the principle that when we do what we can do, that's when God does what He can do. And instead we try to hold on to everything, and we don't let God do what He can do and, you know, see Him work, and we touch His glory. I think that's just a word picture I want to share on the podcast today too, is I've just found myself sharing that with people over and over again in this season, because it has required a level of leadership from you that you aren't used to. Like, it has been so difficult. You have dealt with division like you've never dealt with it before. You've dealt with head-on conflict like you never have before. And you know what? Maybe you did a great job dealing with that. Maybe you didn't, but that's not the point. Is you had to navigate that as a leader, and it was hard. And like Carl Vader shared on the podcast just recently, that's traumatic. Like, that is very difficult to even be running in a direction, to even like to think that things are going to go one way, and to get completely blindsided by the way that the world has gone in the past year and a half. And so what I just want to say today is, you know, just in line with what you were saying, Dale, is don't touch the glory. Like, there are things that the Lord is speaking to you, and that there's a reason for that. Like, he wants mm-hmm. to bring you into a healed season of leadership. He wants you to be ready for what's coming. He wants you to be prepared for the work he's going to do. But that's not going to happen if you don't listen to him and if you don't do things hand in hand with him or in step with him.
We touch the glory in two ways.
Yeah.
We can touch the glory by thinking, this is all about me and I made it happen.
Exactly.
Or we touch the glory by in an opposite direction of going, oh, I need to make this happen.
Yeah.
And here's what I've observed in my lifetime. If you ever touch the glory, you don't ever get it back. You don't ever get back what you had.
Yeah.
When you start thinking that, you know, because
it's really
Jesus,
hard to.
Jesus can take his hand off your ministry and you can keep going in America just fine. Yeah, you know, you think about Samson and how he kept playing with his anointing. He kept, you know, dancing around his anointing with Delilah, and he would tell her this and he would tell her that, lying to her and just being loose with his anointing and, you know, frivolous with it. And the day that he finally gave it away, the Bible says he woke up from his sleep and she'd cut his hair off, and he goes out to, and he says, I will go and do as I have always done. And it says this, and this is kind of a paraphrase, but it says, he didn't realize the Spirit of God departed from him.
Wow.
And when the Spirit of God did return on him, it was in the setting where he basically killed all the Philistines that were in the big party, but he died in the process. Mm-hmm. Don't touch the glory, guys. Ladies, don't touch the glory. Don't ever get to a place in your ministry, in your life, where you think this is about you or you're making it happen. We get to do ministry. I've said it third time now. We get to do ministry from Jesus, but not for him. Mm-hmm. It's not about us doing. He doesn't need our help.
Yeah.
He's looking for men and women of God. Joel said in the last days, God was going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, and sons and daughters are going to dream dreams and prophesy, and God is pouring out his Spirit. If God's not moving in your church, it's not because he doesn't want to move. It's because there's something that's cut off the spigot. If God's not moving in your church, it's not because he doesn't want to save the people that are lost around you. The Bible says Jesus died for the lost, so he died for them. If God's not moving in your church, there's a reason why you're doing something or something's in place that's stopping him from being able to work as he would want to work. And it could be that maybe you just think it's about you. Hmm. And if you're not willing to at least take a day off during the week, you maybe you can't do a 40-day sabbatical. And I do believe you can take a vacation because the people in your church take vacations.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. I've two pastors in the last 2 months. Two pastors who had planned long, extended trips to go out and do ministry somewhere. And both pastors had their church tell them, hey, we need you to come off your vacation with your family and come back and do something at the church. And one of them did.
Wow.
And I reached out to him. I don't even know him that well. And I said, okay, when are you taking your family back on vacation? Because your kids are going to go up and hate church.
Yeah.
Because they had this really fun vacation plan. And so I'm just telling you, we've made ministry way too hard. Mm-hmm. It's all about Jesus. He's the head of the church. We're just the elbows and the armpits. That's all we are. We're kneecaps and feet. That's all we are. We're just part of the body. Yeah. He's the head. And the day that you start thinking that somehow if you can't take a vacation or you can't take a day off or you can't take a break, the church will fall apart, then go ahead and let it fall apart because it needs to, because that means it's about you.
Mm-hmm. What is one last thing that you'd like to leave in this episode? You know, obviously, like we had said, part of this is just to educate people and just like let them know, hey, mm-hmm. Dale's going to be gone for 40 days. So like if you reach out to us, he's not going to respond. And, you know, he's taking a break. And like he said, he's shutting everything down. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the team's going to carry things around here. Mm-hmm. But what is one last thing that you'd like to say today?
He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it till the day of Christ Jesus. It's not about you. He just wants to work through you to accomplish his will. You are a kingdom establisher everywhere you go. Every place you take your foot, you take the Spirit of the living God with you, and you bring light to the darkness. So let go of the stress. Let go of the worry. And look, and this may mean that some of you need to change churches. Because some of our churches are, as Carl talked about, they're so toxic. Don't keep living that way. And maybe you need to do it. I took 5 years off. Mm-hmm. After that big crash when things went south on me, I went back into doing construction. And some pastors, you're like, I can't do anything else. Yeah, you can. Go work at Chick-fil-A. It's Christian chicken. Go do that. I don't know. But find something to do and let God provide for you, because you're not You're not going to last if you keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. And so I encourage you, he who called you is going to be faithful to complete what he started. Don't get in his way.
Yeah.
I remember, and I'll close with this, Jack Hayford told this story a long time ago. And this is cool that it's kind of popped back in my head because it was about Jack was going on his very first sabbatical. Mm-hmm. So Pastor Jack had been pastoring out in Van Nuys, California, the little bitty four square church. When he went there, they had like a handful of people, and then it grew into becoming a very large church. But he tells this story, and he did a two-part series, and I ordered it. It was called Keeping in God's Way and Keeping out of God's Way on a cassette tape. Yeah, still got it. Don't have anything to play it on, but I've got it. But the church was called Church on the Way, and so his series was called Keeping in God's Way, Getting out of God's Way. And so he did the first sermon was all about, you know, staying in the flow of what God's doing and letting him minister, kind of the stuff we've talked about today. Yeah. But the second cassette was this. So he said the church was just burgeoning and it was growing and Easter was coming up and he was just frantically trying to figure out things and they're outgrowing their building and they're in Southern California and there's just like you can't buy land and all this kind of stuff and he's like moving around doing all this stuff and he's working with builders and all this kind of stuff and he was praying one morning about 2 weeks before Easter and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said you're getting in my way.
And, that's what you want to hear.
And so he said that he through us, you know, through his prayer time, the Holy Spirit said, "I want you to take 7 weeks off. You're entering into your seventh year, so I want you to take 7 weeks off." And so what Pastor Jack did was every 7 years he took a 7 week sabbatical, and this was the very first one. So he took he said, "I want you to take 7 weeks off. And I want you just to get out of the way because you're getting in my way." And it's so funny because he tells the story that while he was gone, the church bought like several parcels of land, all connected to their particular place where he couldn't do it unless it was supernatural. Yeah. Some of it was given to him, incredible stuff. But he goes to his assistant pastor that morning. He says, "Listen," he said, "I need to ask you a question." And his assistant pastor, he said, "Sure, what?" He said, "Did God tell you to tell me anything today?" And he goes, "Yeah."
He's like, "I wasn't going to," but.
And his assistant pastor looked at him and said, "Yeah." And Jack said, "Did he tell you I was getting in his way?" He said, "Yes." And so he took that break and set that example. And as he was preaching this particular sermon, this was many years later, he was getting ready to go on another one of those sabbaticals. Guys, let's don't get in God's way. Mm-hmm. Let's stay in the way of the flow of what he's doing, but let's don't think it's about us. Let's don't get in the way of what he wants to do.
Dale, you and I could talk forever. For real, I feel like we could just keep going on this. But
it's your fault. You asked all those questions.
I know, it's just fun. We should do this more often. Get back in the habit of it. I do want to say that I'm really proud of you for doing it, for listening to the Lord's leading. For that's something you've always valued and that you've done very well. But yeah, as you know, so this isn't
definitely want to do that.
Yeah, this isn't. You know, it's not a new thing for you to hear something from God and to do it. It has been a very heavy, you know, workload season here at 95 mm-hmm. Network. Like, you know, I took a step back from a full-time role in the team and it put a lot on your plate. And you started leading not three people, but 11 people. And, you know, it was a lot has changed. And so even on a practical level, like it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make sense for you to take a month off, but it'll be fine. And, you know, you have the people, we'll just keep doing it and it'll be, you know, we'll make it happen. But you also have a savior who cares about this ministry, who put all of us on this team for a mm-hmm. reason. And so it comes down to trust. And so I'm just very proud of you for taking that step, even when it doesn't make sense. And I'm excited to see what Jesus speaks to you.
It's not about me. My goal is to build this thing in such a way that in 10 years I can leave and it goes higher and further and broader and stronger than I could ever take it. So that's the goal. And so it's not about me. It never has been about me. If I take 40 days off and it all falls apart, then it should
Something was
apart.
Wrong. I know.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it. A little update here from Dale and an encouragement for you. We hope there was something that we said today that just kind of resonated in your spirit. And if you need to talk to anyone about that, you can reach out to us. Dale won't respond, but Stephanie or myself will. And we would be happy to help you think through that or direct you to a resource to support. So we love you guys, and we are cheering you on. You're doing meaningful work. Just listen to the Lord's leading. Thanks for listening to today's episode of the 95 Podcast. I hope that this was an encouragement to you. And like I said at the end, I do hope that there was just something that stood out to you or nudged your heart or encouraged your heart in some way as you move forward through this week. We've been sharing this on the podcast recently, but do just want you to know that we just want to thank you for listening to the show. And so if you head to our website, we have a whole shop section. There's a new series on there called Small Church Strategies. It's a DVD and online video series. And there's 14 different courses that you can take in that series. And so as a podcast listener, if you use the code podcast, super, super simple, you will get 10% off of anything in our store. And so just want to encourage you to go take a look and see what we have available. And that's just one way we want to say thank you. As always, if you are not already subscribed to the show, be sure to hit the subscribe or the follow button on your platform of choice. You can also sign up for weekly updates on the show notes for this episode. But we are always sharing new conversations every single week with thought leaders or other leaders across the country that we respect, and just sharing new content to support you in your ministry journey. So we would love for you to follow along.